Vicky spent almost her every hour in the chamber that concealed the Ugly Truth. Ugly Truth was definitely capable of spaceflight, and her inboard diagnostics indicated that every ship's system was undamaged, operational. The ship was fully fueled, and battery power, for starting up systems and even providing her with some discretionary lights and occasional cool air, was adequate to last for weeks more. She'd even found the boy's name. In the ship's computer records was information about the family that had owned the Ugly Truth. Hassfill and Adre Terson had been the founders of Terson Comfort Carriers, an air taxi company. Vicky had seen the ubiquitous vehicles of their fleet, even ridden within them during her secret activities aiding the Yuuzhan Vong. The ship's records included a holo of their son, Hasray, the boy with the remote. Another little sad story, she decided. This day, she emerged from the refresher and peered up and down the corridor with her customary caution. There was no sound, no sign of movement. Slowly, carefully, she headed back toward the Terson family quarters. Something wrapped around her neck from behind, jerked her off her feet. She landed on her back, choking, and stared up into the features of the new Aku. The warrior held his ampi staff in one hand. The other end of the weapon was coiled around Vicky's neck. She gaped up at him. He was dead. She knew he was dead. He'd died back in the furniture manufacturers. But now he stared down at her, helmet off, eyes neither angry nor solicitous. "Get up," he said. As she rose, the amphistaff's tail slid from around her. "Dinu Aku," she said. "I thought you had died."
"I ran."
The warrior's voice sounded bitter.
"My duty dictated that I return to my commander and describe what I'd seen. The giant Jedi. Now that my superiors are informed, I can return to confront the monstrous thing and kill it or be killed by it. Why did you not seek out the Yuuzhan Vong and tell them what had happened?"
She let some scorn creep into her tone. "A human? Alone? Wandering about the rooftops? Waving down coral skippers? Do you know what happens to them? I do. I was shot at twice." That was a lie. She'd never ventured to the rooftops.
"So you came here? Why?"
"I knew the people who lived here." This lie came smoothly to her, too. "Hassfill and Adre Terson. They were wealthy. I knew their quarters would have preserved food hidden in them, and I was right. I knew that would give me time to figure out how to return to the world ship without getting myself killed. How did you find me?" He reached under his armor at the armpit and pulled forth a creature, an insect about the size of one of Vicky's fingernails. It looked like some sort of beetle, but was the red color of arterial blood. Though its wings were folded along its back, perfectly shaped to its carapace, they vibrated, causing the little creature to buzz constantly.
"This is a Nizbat," the warrior said. "When it is near any of its hatchmates, it makes this noise, increasing in volume as it gets closer."
"So?"
"So one of its hatchmates is within you."
Vicky couldn't keep her eyes from widening.
"Something that size is inside me?"
"No. It was implanted in you when it was fresh hatched. It cannot grow. It cannot even vibrate. But it can be felt by its fellows.
I am grateful to it that it has allowed you to find me."
The new Aku's acknowledgement sounded neither accepting nor dubious.
"Now you will be able to return to the world ship."
"I am delighted."
"After we find and kill the giant Jedi."
Vicky's heart sank. She kept it from her face.
"Shall I hold him down while you kill him?"
The new Aku's lips twitched up in a smile.
"Amusing."
From other doorways in the corridor emerged more warriors. A party of 24 or more, Vicky calculated. And with them was another Voxin. This one was worse off than the previous ones. It was a sickly yellow almost everywhere, and in places, its scales were flaking off completely. Its head hung listlessly, and it did not even bother to snap at the warrior nearest it. Ah, Vicky forced a smile. Even better.
Come along.
Danua Ku led the way toward the nearest emergency stairwell. Vicky followed, her smile fixed, her mind racing. She would find a way to elude them. And if it were humanly possible, she would see Danua Ku dead. Dead for daring to force her back into his plans when her plans were so much more important. Mara crept along the metal girder 40 meters above the floor. The light from the lamps, dying glow rods, and torches below barely reached her. With her dark garments and skill at movement, she doubted very much that she would be seen. The floor below was irregular, partially buckled, the result of one of the ground quakes that Danisit had played Coruscant since the Yuuzhan Vong had begun to shift its orbit. A constant stream of haggard males and females of a variety of species carried duricrete blocks and rubbish and portions of bodies, hauling these things out through a side tunnel and returning unencumbered. Clearly they were excavating something in the chamber or chambers below that black floor, and doing so at the bidding of another. But where and what was that being? There was no sign of the Yuuzhan Vong, no sign of Lord Nyax. She pulled out her comlink. Luke, she whispered.
I'm here.
She knew that. She could feel him dozens of meters away, toward one of this chamber's four upper corners. He was with Tahiri, Face, and Kel. Any of them could have been the one to crawl out on this metal beam, but it had been Mara's turn. The line of workers stopped in place, every one of the dozens of blank-eyed Coruscant survivors turning toward a far corner of the chamber. Mara strained to see, then gave up and brought out her macro binoculars. In that corner, a flap of sheet metal was pulled aside by something on the other side, and Lord Nyack stepped through. Mara felt a hiss try to escape her. She stilled it, an unnecessary precaution, as at this distance, no living creature could have heard her. But the contrast between the malevolent force presence she could feel from that man and his cheerful looks atop that monstrously tall body was startling. She almost dropped the macro binoculars. Luke, did you feel that?
I did. Maybe you should get back here.
Maybe I shouldn't. She returned her attention to the man in the distance. But keep talking to me.
Will do. What are you seeing?
Lord Nyax. He's come through the wall and he's walking toward the work crews. He's alone.
How's his expression?
Happy. Childish happy. For a moment, she could see into Lord Nyax's thoughts, deeper than mere visual evidence should allow her. He's pleased with their progress. They've got it ready to go.
Got what ready?
What they told him about. Mara shook her head again, as if trying to fling the alien thoughts from her skull by centrifugal force. I can't seem to close myself off, Luke. I can't seem to block it.
Me either. Or Tahiri. I'm coming out there.
Mara looked back. In the distance behind her, she saw a dark shape emerge from a ceiling-high hole in the wall and come trotting across intact metal beams, more nimble than any acrobat. She felt another sensation in the force, a hunger that seemed decidedly out of character for Lord Nyax. She returned her attention to him. The thing with Eirik Ismarin's face stopped just short of the nearest work crew and was now looking toward the corner of the chamber immediately beneath Luke's entry point. There were shrieks from the stairwell there. Figures burst up from the stairwell. Armed and armored Yuuzhan Vong warriors emerged, moving fast, and the fifth one out of the stairwell was being dragged by a leashed Voxin. That was the hunger, the desperate craving of the Voxen to find and destroy all Force users. Lord Nyack smiled as the warriors, 20 of them now, spread out in a semicircle. They approached him, amphi-staffs ready, some of them handling thud bugs or razor bugs. They moved through the crowd of workers, contemptuously shoving those beings aside, hurling them off their feet. The beam Mara was on bobbed more deeply as Luke arrived. He stretched out behind her and pulled out his own macro-binoculars. And in that same instant, the workers screamed in rage and swarmed the Yuuzhan Vong warriors. The warriors swung and stabbed. Mara saw workers pierced through heart and gut and brain. When those attacks were not instantly mortal, they continued running and leaping at the Yuuzhan Vong, crashing into them, bearing them to the floor by weight of numbers. The Voxen handlers went down. The Voxen leaped free and charged Lord Nyack, its growl of rage rumbling through the chamber. A lightsaber, a red one, ignited in Lord Nyack's hand. Then Mara took another look. This wasn't a normal lightsaber. The energy blade emerged from the back of his metallic glove. It pivoted as he flexed his right hand. Another emerged from his left glove. Fallen Yuuzhan Vong warriors were rising now, having torn themselves free of the masses of people bearing upon them. Mara saw limbs being severed from torsos by expert amphistaff blows, saw trails of blood, some of it jets of arterial blood gouting high into the air, from the frenzied but ineffective workers as they were cut down. "We have to help," Luke said. Mara turned. Luke was wrapping the cord of his belt grapnel, long abandoned but definitely a useful tool for the exploration of Coruscant's lower reaches, around the metal beam. "Help who?" "Help the Vong." "Yeah, I know, I know. It's something you've never heard anyone say before." Luke rolled off the beam and fell, his descent arrested by his hand on the cord. More cord deployed from his belt as he descended. "I'm not worried about the fate of the Yuuzhan Vong," he told her, "but we desperately need any resources we can use against Lord Nyack." Mara hissed in vexation. She tucked her macro-binoculars away, grabbed Luke's cord, and swung out over open space, then slid down after her husband. In the corner of her eye, she saw the Voxen charge Lord Nyack. He dodged under the beast's leap and flexed an arm. His elbow blade sheared through the Voxen's gut, slicing the beast cleanly in two. It landed in pieces behind him. Then, as Mara swung around on the rope during her descent, she saw the woman. The woman was dark-haired, attractive, standing at the top of the staircase by which the Yuuzhan Vong had arrived. Unlike the workers, she was alert, watching the fight with an expression of detached interest. She was Vicky Shesh. Vicky watched the huge pale man slaughter Yuuzhan Vong warriors. The pale man looked off to Vicky's left. She followed its gaze. There, advancing on the pale man, lightsabers lit, were Luke Skywalker and Mara Jade. Vicky's eyes grew wide. What were they doing here? The Yuuzhan Vong, too, seemed caught off guard. Dinua Ku had no more love of the Jedi than any warrior, but he was smart. Vicky saw him wave his warriors back, waiting for the intentions of the Jedi to be revealed. It was time to go. No matter who the victor was, Vicky would either end up dead or pressed once more into the service of the Yuuzhan Vong. She spun to sprint to the stairwell. She tripped over an outstretched leg. It was clad in Von Dune crab armor. She looked up, confused. All the Yuuzhan Vong warriors had been ahead of her. Where had this one come from? He was the tallest she'd seen, and wore unusual black and silver armor. So did the shorter warrior next to him, the one with the distinctive branding marks on his face. That one said, "What do we have here, Explosion Boy?" His voice was cultured, his basic perfect. The tall one said, "Dunno." He too spoke basic. He reached down, seized one of Vicky's ankles, and straightened. He held her upside down at arm's length.
Runt of the litter, I'd say.
Disoriented, Vicky could only watch as a lithe female Jedi, lightsaber blazing, ran past the three of them, paying these Yuuzhan Vong warriors no attention. A clang over her head startled her. She looked up, down at the floor, and saw her locator lying there. She reached for it, but the tall warrior swung her to one side.
Grab that, would you, poster boy?
Got it.
The one addressed as poster boy seized the device and straightened.
Ah, a military spec vehicle locator. Ool Shows makes these.
Hey, it's live.
Vicky finally found her voice.
That's mine.
Not anymore, Senator.
Luke and Mara approached Lord Nyax and his Yuuzhan Vong attackers. They kept their guards up, their senses, both physical and force, alert. Luke searched the face in front of him. He looked for some trace of humanity. The expression on Lord Nyax's face turned from mocking amusement to seriousness, even sadness for a brief moment, as though the thing had at last recognized some kinship and discovered that it did not bridge the gulf between the two of them. Then it charged.
Kel finished binding Vicky's hands behind her back and looked up in time to see Lord Nyax lunge toward Luke.
Luke raised his lightsaber, caught the downward sweep of Lord Nyax's right-hand forearm weapon. He spun clockwise, narrowing his profile as the left-hand forearm blade thrust toward him and kept his guard up in time to intercept the right-hand elbow blade. Mara leaped forward, unleashing two fast blows that the thing's left elbow blade caught, then folded over nearly double as she leaped back from a strike from its left knee. The Yuuzhan Vong warriors unloaded handfuls of thud bugs and razor bugs, heedless of which of the targets they might hit. But the two Jedi and Lord Nyax flicked the weapons out of the air or dodged them entirely. Two Jedi? Three. Suddenly, Tahiri was in their midst, coming up on Luke's left, blocking a follow-up blow from the elbow blade on that side.
Bad, Kel said. Face nodded. Bad, bad.
He pulled his blaster rifle from the wrappings on his back.
But who to shoot first?
We're no good here.
Kel gestured toward the stairwell.
Let's see what they're doing down below. If it's important, I can blow it up.
That's our Kel.
Kel set Vicky on her feet, then hauled her up over his shoulder. Following Face, he descended the stairwell. A tremendous mechanical roar shook the chamber. It lowered slightly in volume, but became steady, filling the air.
It's a delaying tactic, Mara shouted over the roar.
I know,
Luke shouted back.
It's working. I'm being delayed.
He stopped a forearm swing and was driven back a step. Stopped the follow-up elbow swing and was driven back a step. Jumped back to avoid the knee strike and discovered it was only a feint. Lord Nyax's leg snapped back and caught a Yuuzhan Vong warrior in the crotch, collapsing the warrior despite its armor. Every step took the Jedi and the warriors toward the center of the chamber. The floor vibrated beneath their feet.
What?
Mara said.
I didn't say anything.
Not you. Speak up, Face.
Luke waved Mara back. She jumped up and backwards in a somersault, taking her out of Lord Nyax's range, and took out her comlink, holding it up to her ear. Tahiri took her place, swinging her lightsaber defensively, eyes wide as she analyzed her attacker's motions and patterns.
I said it's a big machine, Face shouted.
He, Kel, and their struggling cargo were on a catwalk two levels down from the floor where the Jedi and Yuuzhan Vong fought. And the catwalk itself was the top level of a deep, deep chamber. A chamber that housed a single vehicle. Had that machine been set up on any world but Coruscant, it would have been considered a skyscraper. It was hundreds of meters tall. At its base were treaded appendages that could roll like tank treads or lift and move independently like feet. All along its surface were hydraulic arms. Some ended in what looked like plasma cutters. Others in huge ball-like weapons. Still others in manipulator hands.
"Tell her it's a construction droid," Kel shouted. "It looks completely functional."
Face shouted that information into his comlink.
"Did she hear you?"
"I don't know."
"Tell her it's moving."
Far below, the tread spun into action. The construction droid's machinery whined as the gigantic machine lurched into action and then crashed into the Duracrete wall before it. Mara felt the crash from below as much as she heard it. Lord Nyax leaped upward a half dozen meters and then, impossibly, just hung there in space, smiling down at the Jedi and the Yuuzhan Vong. Mara realized, a fraction of a second too late, that it had merely grabbed the same cord by which she and Luke had descended. Then the floor went out from under her. As he felt his footing give way, Luke sprang, with the last bit of traction the flooring gave him, toward Mara and Tahiri. He hit them like an overly aggressive ball player, catching one in each arm. The patch of floor they were heading toward opened, giving him nothing to land on. With the force, he shoved at his own back, propelling him through the rent, toward the metal wall he saw before him, the wall and the catwalk there. He saw that their arc was going to miss the catwalk. They would hit the wall and plummet. But in that instant, the left end of the catwalk broke free of its moorings and dropped, bringing it beneath their ballistic arc. A moment later, they hit the swaying thing, bending it down still further, but Mara and Tahiri grabbed its trailing and held on with their considerable strength. Gasping for breath, Luke looked around. He and both of the others had switched off their lightsabers mid-leap. "Good instincts," he said.
"Good teacher," Tahiri said.
She looked up past Luke. "Hey, Face, is that you?"
Hold on. I'll get a line down to you."
Face tied off the cord he'd once used to safeguard his passage across an elevated walkway. He dropped the other end down the swaying catwalk toward the Jedi. In moments, Luke, Mara, and Tahiri swarmed up to join them. The construction droid was only just pulling out onto the avenue beyond the building.
"Did you see Vicky Shesh?" Mara asked.
Kel jerked a thumb up toward the stairwell behind them.
"She was still at the bottom of the steps when the big boom hit. She took off."
Mara clambered up to the base of the stairs.
"I'm going after her."
"Mara, no." Luke's voice did not carry a plea. His tone conveyed a simple truth. "Lord Nyax is more important. I can feel him moving up there, moving away. We have to go after him, bring him down." Mara sighed, shut her eyes. After a moment, she nodded.
"I lost her. I'll go after her," Kel said.
Face pressed the locator into his hand.
"No. You go after this mechanic, boy. It could be our ticket out of here. You go after her, then."
Face gestured toward the construction droid, which leaned at an alarming angle toward the next building over, as it turned rightward onto the avenue.
"I'm going after that. Nyack sent it off for a purpose. We need to know what that purpose is."
Mara pounded her fist into the bottom step, then stood.
"Let's go," she said.
Up on the half-collapsed floor above, Dunua Ku hung, unable to climb, unable to descend. A 3-meter length of rebar emerged from his gut. It was slick with his blood. He knew that his lung had been punctured. The pain was extraordinary. He did not mind pain, did not fear it, but it was beginning to fade in a way that suggested imminent death rather than recovery. In the silence left by the infidel machine's departure, he heard feet padding softly across the remaining floor. He looked up. Vicky Shesh, most of the way around the chamber toward the hole by which the pale monster had entered, her hands tied behind her back, paused and looked at him.
"Tell them,"
I died well,
Danuaku said. I'll tell them, she said. I'll tell them you died whining, that you died begging for infidel medicines, anything to alleviate the pain.
Danuaku snarled. He reached for his pouch for his last remaining razor bugs.
Vicky laughed at him. Before he could bring out the weapons, she reached the corner and ducked through the hole there. Lord Nyax led the three Jedi on a high-speed run through the ruins of Coruscant.
Where's he going? Mara asked.
Luke thought about where they started this fight, where they'd been since then.
It's a big arc, maybe part of a big circle.
Why? Tahiri asked. She breathed more easily than Luke or Mara, the energy and resilience of youth standing her in good stead.
He's not fleeing, Luke said. He could have left us behind some time ago. So he wants us to follow him.
Into a trap? He shook his head. He would have gone straight.
No, he's just leading us on a chase, a diversion.
So where does he want us not to go? Tahiri asked.
Mara turned abruptly, headed back the way they'd come.
To wherever it sent that construction droid.
She pulled out her comlink.
Mara to face. Come in, Face.
Face ducked behind a pillar between two smashed-in panels of transparasteel.
Face here. I hear you.
Are you still with the construction droid?
Well, yes and no.
He leaned out of the shattered viewport next to him. In the distance, he could see coral skippers hovering outside the mound of rubble the construction droid made when it plowed into the side of a giant ziggurat of buildings.
It's ahead of me. It's digging through construction. Moving a lot faster than those things are rated to move, I'll bet. I'm cut off from it for the moment. I'm going to have to track it from floors above and hope they don't fall out from under me.
Leave a tracking signal open. We need to find you.
Done. Face out.
He sat there for a few more moments, gasping in the warm, moist, cloying air of Coruscant, then rose again.
I hate this job.
The Jedi circled around the growing accumulation of coral skippers hovering outside the collapsed hole the construction droid had bored into the ziggurat's side. On an upper floor, half a kilometer from the gathering, they met up with Face and peered at the ziggurat.
Interesting, Luke said.
What? Said Tahiri.
This is one of the monolithic blocks that served the Old Republic as a government center, Luke said.
Tahiri gave him a skeptical look.
How do you know that?
Because, youngster, the few surviving databases and file maps that mentioned the old Jedi Temple indicated that it was, Luke pointed, somewhere there.
I've been all through it, kilometers and kilometers of it.
By the time I got to look at it, of course, Emperor Palpatine had long destroyed every remaining trace of the Jedi.
Maybe not every trace, Mara said. Why do you suppose Lord Nyax is digging there?
Because, Luke considered. Because he has some kind of implanted memories or instincts? Perhaps he wants to destroy any remnant of the temple because of lingering emotions. Or maybe he knows about some portion of it that was never on the public databases.
Either way, Mara said, we have to find out.
Deep in the guts of the ziggurat, the construction droid leaned against the sloping black wall, driving its plasma cutters into the smooth surface, hammering the glossy wall with its mechanical limbs. Luke and his companions peered at the action through a crack in a Duracrete wall a couple of stories up.
What's beyond that wall, farm boy?
Luke shook his head.
I don't know. I didn't know this area was here. I'm not sure there were any visible accesses into it before.
Hey, we have Yuuzhan Vong coming.
Mara leaned in over her husband's shoulder to look. Yuuzhan Vong warriors were scrambling over the rubble and rushing toward the construction droid. Coruscant survivors rushed out of the construction droid's base to meet them. Unarmed, ill-fed,
They still had a tremendous edge in numbers over the warriors, and Luke saw several of the Yuuzhan Vong go down under struggling masses of bodies. More Yuuzhan Vong entered. More survivors swarmed in, now coming from surrounding areas of rubble instead of just from the droid's base. Luke looked back at the others. He's near. He's calling to them, calling for help. Face pulled his helmet off, touched his forehead. He looked troubled. I know. I can feel him. In my head, I can feel the draw.
Kel to Face.
The voice, small and tinny, floated up from Face's helmet. The Wraith leader pulled his helmet up beside his features. Face here.
I've found the source of the locator signal. We're in luck. It's a space-worthy transport. It's our passage back to Borlaeus.
What kind of condition is it in?
It's ready to go. Oh, it's blocked in by several tons of rubble.
Can you handle that?
What's my bag full of?
That's what I thought. Luke looked again at the battle raging below. A battle where his only opponent of consequence was the creature they called Lord Nyax. Face, our mission is over. I want you to round up the others, get to that transport, and prepare to leave Coruscant. Face grinned at him, as though he were waiting for a punchline. And what about you silly Jedi types? We're going down there. Luke closed his eyes, just for a moment, as the weight of that decision pressed upon him. He was about to lead his wife and a teenager into a situation he wasn't sure he could handle. A situation that was likely to get them all killed. He looked at Face again. If we die here, the other Jedi need to know about Lord Nyax. You're going to tell them. Face thought about it, his smile disappearing. I normally try to argue against suicide missions. But you know what Lord Nyax can do. Yes, so all I can do is wish you luck. Face left. Luke took a couple of deep breaths, turned to the others. Ready? Ready, Tahiri said. Mara just nodded. Luke ignited his lightsaber and sliced into the gap he'd been peering through, widening it. Lord Nyax watched as his workers swarmed toward the warriors he could not sense. He did not like the fact that he could not feel them. But he did enjoy seeing his workers kill them, though it was usually at a cost of 20 or 30 workers per warrior. And he could feel the wall weakening. Soon it would give way completely. The woman who had told him of this wonderful machine, he thought she was up at its summit, making it move, had been right. He decided he would reward her. Then he sensed something and looked up. A bar of energy flashed, and three people fell out of a hole in the ceiling. They drifted laterally to the top of the slope of the black wall, riding it down, using their power to slow the descent, keeping their balance, increasing the friction between the clothes on their feet and the wall surface. Lord Nyax moved to be beneath them. He ignited his blades, all of them. He knew they'd be here, knew it from the moment they stopped chasing him. He wished they'd go away instead of tiring him. The foremost of them, the male, slid down until he was not far above Lord Nyx's reach, then leaped free, somersaulting to land somewhere behind him. Lord Nyax reached out as the male came down. He slid a sharp-edged piece of stone toward the male's landing area, timing it so that the stone would shear through the male's legs. But the male slowed his descent and rotation, landing atop the stone instead of in front of it, and bounded off toward Lord Nyax. Meanwhile, the women leaped clear of the stone, spinning down toward him, igniting their weapons as they came. Lord Nyax leaped free of the center of their formation, bounding up over the head of the red-haired female. He hit the stone wall feet first, shoved off, and rotated to a landing many steps away from the three pests. Then he made a thought and drove it into their heads. It hit Luke like a razor bug fired straight through his forehead. Luke staggered under the pain. His back hit the irregular floor. He waved his lightsaber up and in front of him, a defensive form, but there was no follow-up blow for him to counter. There was, however, a new priority. He was to switch off his lightsaber and then go attack the Yuuzhan Vong. He leaped to his feet and turned his weapon off. He could see Mara and Tahiri doing the same. But that would mean dying. And worse, failing. No, it's what he had to do. No, he couldn't do that. He stood, frozen by the dilemma, straining against the thought that filled his mind. The thought that was slowly driving out every other consideration. So he did what he had to whenever he was confused. He reached out, touching Mara in the Force. He didn't have to open his mind to her. His mind was as open as it could be, held open by Lord Nyx's thought. He just had to reach for her, and she was there, locked in as great a confusion and pain as his. She had no answer for him. He reached for Tahiri and found her to be identically immobile. He felt Lord Nyx grow impatient, then angry, and Lord Nyx expressed his anger through pain. Luke felt his fingers and toes, hands and feet, shins and forearms explode. He fell, writhing, then stared in amazement as he realized that his limbs were still attached. The pain was real, but no injury had caused it. He could feel Mara's pain, feel Tahiri's. There was something different about Tahiri's. He looked over to where she lay. She was rolling to her stomach, forcing her way to her feet. Off balance, weaving as she stood, she nevertheless managed to pick up her lightsaber and ignite it. She looked at Nyx, anger blazing in her eyes. "I know something about pain you don't," she said. "Pain drowns other people. I just swim in it." She took a step toward her tormentor. Luke could feel Nyx's anger, his moment of confusion. And though Luke couldn't move, he could act. He reached out through the Force and grabbed the stone that Nyx had tried to use against him moments earlier. He jerked it toward his enemy. And though he was weakened by pain, by distraction, it flew those few meters and slammed into Nyx's back, driving him forward, slamming him off his feet. Tahiri leaped forward, bringing her lightsaber down in an all-out attack. Nyx managed to get one of his arm blades up to intercept it, then kicked out, shoving off against the pile of rubble. He slid away from Tahiri, and the slide continued well past the point that it should, carrying him clear of her. But he left skin and blood behind on rubble he crossed. Luke felt Nyx's astonishment, his outrage at having been wounded, however trivially. Then Nyx drove another thought into Luke's brain. Kill Tahiri. This time, Luke was ready for it. He'd had a moment to center his thoughts, and most importantly, emotions. He was ready with his memories of Tahiri, all the times he'd been delighted as she'd made another gain in her study of the Force, all the hopes he'd had for her future and happiness. He could hold up like a shield his memory of her love for his nephew Anakin Solo. All those memories blunted Nyx's attack, shattered its spear tip. Luke reached for Mara again and found her similarly armored, but with logic, not emotion. Running through her mind was a cold calculation of allies and opponents, actions and consequences. Uppermost in it was a realization that Nyx could rule any individual, and out of individuals, whole galaxies were made. But deep beneath the analysis was a stream of emotion, an awareness of their son Ben, of what he would be if Nyx could find him and shape him. Luke came up on shaky legs, felt Mara doing the same. And though Nyx was not letting up on the pain energy, it affected Luke less now. He could feel Tahiri's part in that. The way she opened herself to the pain, was not daunted by it, was not shut down by it. They faced Nyx as a single creature. The part of them that was Mara rejected the false truths Nyx tried to impose upon them.
The part of them that was Luke rejected the false hatreds, the lying enmities. The part that was Tahiri made the pain part of what they were, a fuel for their strength. Nyax looked between them, and a flicker of distress, a childlike expression of fear, crossed his features. Then all four of them felt the wall break. Whatever was beyond it roared forth to sweep them away. Luke swam out of a sea of not pain, not shock, but something between exultation and complete confusion. His back was against a mound of rubble, and his wife and the girl were beside him. He couldn't remember their names or his own. Luke. That was it. Luke. And Mara and Tahiri. And the Yuuzhan Vong and Nyax. Luke rose, saw his lightsaber a few meters away, and yanked it to him with a casual display of the Force. It struck his palm with far more energy than he'd intended, and he dropped it again. Then he saw Nyax standing beneath the hole in the black wall. The hole, one of the construction droid's wrecking balls still within it, was 20 meters up. Nyax danced on the pile of rubble beneath it. His was the uncoordinated, artless dance of a child. It was a dance of joy. Mara rose beside him. Luke had known she was unhurt. "Force energy," she whispered. This must have been a wellspring of it, he thought. The old Jedi temple must have been built above it because it was here. They were guarding it, and guarding the planet from it. Nyax finished dancing. He turned to look at the Jedi. His expression was so full of uncomplicated happiness that it seemed impossible that he would ever try to hurt them. Nor did he attack them now. He simply raised a hand. Above him, a portion of the ceiling, a plug some 10 meters across, shot straight up and out of sight. Debris rained down, but drifted to one side before it could hit Nyax. Tremendous crashing noises emerged from the hole above, and the walls all around them began to shake. Tahiri joined Luke and Mara, tucking something away in her backpack. "We're in trouble," she said. One of the advantages of running around in a lawless ruined city several kilometers deep, Face reflected, was there was always gear to find. Such as this air taxi. Now he roared along the tumbled canyons of Coruscant, following a comm beacon, keeping well below rooftop altitude. It was a necessary precaution. He saw a lot of coral skippers. All seemed to be heading toward one location, the same location he'd recently fled. He reached the vicinity of the beacon, gained until the signal was its strongest. That put him directly opposite the collapsed corner of a building. He could see something shining silver there, a simple antenna, attached so recently that nothing had had time to grow on it. No dust or soot had darkened it. "Face to Kel," he said. "I see your antenna."
"Drop 6 stories and drift over to the next building. Come in the first big window. The access to where I am is in the main chamber there."
"On my way." Face lost altitude and sideslipped. He peered in through the shattered viewport of what had once been a luxury apartment, could see the stairwell reaching from the ceiling. He gunned his thruster and crashed through the framework around the viewport, then cut power. His air taxi dropped half a meter to the floor. Seconds later, he squeezed in through the access hatch of the vehicle named Ugly Truth. Kel was above him in the pilot seat. He didn't turn around.
"Did you feel something a couple of minutes ago?" Kel asked.
"No."
"Good. Me either, then."
Face looked up through the cockpit viewport at the jumble of rubble overhead.
"Do you really have enough explosives to blast through that?"
"Approximately.
But that's not what we're going to do."
"Ah."
"A detonation like that might damage this frail little flower of an escape ship."
Kel pointed down toward his feet.
"But the building wall on that side isn't support wall.
Support comes from the building's metal skeleton. So I planted shaped charges to blow that wall out.
And then what?
And then I hit the topside nose repulsors. We tilt forward. I hit the thrusters. We punch free. And we rotate for a while, everybody screaming and vomiting, until I regain control.
Kel, sometimes I hate you.
Yeah, but I'm still the best pilot you ever saw.
The hole above Nyx's head widened. No more rubble poured down upon him. Instead, sunlight did. Luke thumbed his lightsaber into incandescence and marched toward the creature with Irik Ismaran's face. Let's finish this. But Nyx, ignoring him, lifted straight up into the air and floated up through the hole his force powers had made. In a moment, he was out of sight.
Danny Elisaran Bindi scrambled in through the access hatch.
Take the seats forward, Face ordered. These rear ones are for the Jedi. We don't want people climbing over each other when they board. Co-pilot seat is mine. Where's Balgus?
He's staying, Bindi said, instead of me. Face sighed. Once it became likely that resistance cells would be of little use here, he told Bindi to pack up for a return to Borlaeus. He hadn't anticipated Balgus being so resistant to having his studies cut short. Balgus's choice here might prove to be a scientific boon someday, or it might be a useless way to commit suicide. But it was Balgus's choice. Face dogged the hatch shut, then struggled up the makeshift ladder and into the co-pilot seat. He strapped himself in.
Ready when you are.
Boom, Kel said. He thumbed a hand remote. The Ugly Truth rocked as the wall beneath its keel blew out into the street beyond. Kel didn't wait to evaluate the situation, the size of the hole. He shoved his control yoke and the transport lurched forward. Face's stomach rose into his throat as the transport leaned out into the open air above the avenue, then leaped free of the building to plummet nose down toward the ground.
The construction droid's internal turbo lift opened and the Jedi stepped out into the machine's topside control chamber. Their attention was riveted on the forward viewports. Beyond them, mounds of rubble were falling away, and beyond hovered a cloud of coral skippers. The coral skippers opened fire, pouring plasma bursts into the machine's front face.
The fountain of force energy is what made Nyx stronger, Luke said. It's pure power, and we can use it too.
To demonstrate, he raised a hand like an orchestra conductor, and a mound of rubble against a building 100 meters ahead rose into the air. Luke clenched his fist and drew it toward him, and the rubble swept toward the construction droid. The coral skippers to the rear of the formation had no chance. Chunks of duracrete, stone, and ferrocrete plowed into them from behind. Dovin basal singularities snapped into position to swallow some of the improvised missiles, but even that was not enough. Luke's missiles smashed into Yorick coral, sweeping coral skippers out of the way. Eyes wide, Tahiri mimicked Luke's gestures, but with a face of a building to her left, to the right of the coral skippers. Chunks of facing blew forth from the building, hurtling and falling among the coral skippers. Mara reached up to undo a hatch in the ceiling. Bright light spilled in from above, and a metal ladder lowered. She went up topside. Coral skippers rose from the formation in sudden flight, attempting to get away from the stream of crude projectiles. But those who rose first ran into another stream, this one moving much faster. Chunks of rock and duracrete pounded into the Yorick coral, eroding it like a super-powered sandblaster, destroying those vehicles. At first, Luke thought that Mara had initiated that attack, adding her strength to his and Tahiri's. But he realized after only a moment that it felt wrong. He leaped up through the hatch Mara had opened, landing beside her on the construction droid's roof. Tahiri was only a second behind him. From here, they had a clearer view of the sky full of coral skippers, of the ziggurat behind them, and of the sky. From the ziggurat emerged a column of rubble,
As it rose, it parted, arcing away from its point of emergence in all directions, like a water spray. But this spray was being flung kilometers in every direction, chewing through building tops and coral skippers as it landed. And above its center, where the rubble no longer rose, floated Nyax. Around him danced boulders the size of corvettes and light cruisers. More giant boulders danced in and out through the rubble spray, weaving a lovely spiral through the air. "Another Jedi Academy graduate," Tahiri breathed. "He can lift really big rocks."
"Very funny," Luke said.
He gauged the leap from the construction droid's roof to the nearest solid surface on the ziggurat, decided they could make it. "Let's go." Vicky heard a noise in the distance. A roar, as if some dam had finally opened its valves to let countless tons of water through. The floor rumbled under her feet. She ignored it. She ignored the pain in her wrists, pain caused by her struggles against her bindings. Those struggles had gone on until she'd found a jagged piece of metal protruding from a wall, and now she was free again. She reached the Tursans' apartment building and the floor of their chambers. She was trembling with exhaustion and dripping with sweat by the time she stumbled into the living chamber. And then she froze, almost all remaining hope draining from her. The secret access stairs were down, and of all things, an air taxi rested in the middle of the chamber. She took the stairs up as fast as she could and stared in anguish at the hole in the wall through which the ugly truth had left. All her work was undone. She would have to start again, searching, hiding, surviving, until she could find or repair another functional spacecraft. Well, it was likely that the air taxi was functional. That was a starting point. She descended to give it a look. On the front seat was a pile of preserved food from the ugly truth and a note. "Senator Shesh, we thought you would probably need these more than we do. Don't eat them all in one place. Love, the Wraiths." Only then did Vicky sink down to the carpet. Only then did she begin to cry.